you been feeding on his faithfulness this month? Is everybody doing that? Amen.
Come on, Lord Jesus. Father, we just ask you that you would open the eyes of our understanding. Let us hear the words of Almighty God. Let them be your words, Father, not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase, and you send forth your word to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. For your glory, Lord Jesus, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you guys at Thanksgiving actually give thanks? Do you go around the table and everybody gets to say why they're thankful?
Amen. Good.
No, Val? We got to come to my house then, because we will make you.
Okay, so you want a fun way to add to that, Jeff? You want a fun way to add to that? So do that this year. Go around the table, you know, like you do every year, and everybody says what they're thankful for. And then go around the table again and say, what are you thankful for the person next to you for?
Why are you thankful for them?
Why are you thankful for the person to your left? And then if you really want to go, then why are you thankful for the person to your right? It's good for your kids to do that. Who, did you hear that? That is
2,000
awesome.
Things you're thankful for?
Yes, it really makes you just start appreciating it and realizing how amazingly blessed we are. Because you're blessed.
She came up with 2009 things that she was thankful for. That's fantastic.
She wasn't that thankful.
That's awesome. That's
Amen.
Right. That's exactly right. You
so
know
if you
it.
Find yourself dissatisfied, find yourself 2,011 things that you're grateful for. By the way, it's really not that hard. Sounds like a lot of things until you start really naming things.
That's right. Yes,
Amen.
It does. In the book of Psalms, 105. Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. That would take the rest of our lives. At least it would take the rest of my life to tell of all his wonderful acts. It says, Psalm 105, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Amen? Be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord. It is truly the greatest antidote to depression you will ever find is thanksgiving.
How many of you have ever been in the presence of a miracle? Bona fide miracle. I'm telling you. All right. What miracle?
We don't have time.
I'm serious. Really. Yeah. I mean, the fact that you're alive. You know what? We count those things pretty minimally while you have them. Try losing your memory. All of a sudden, things become very important. Randy, miracle.
That was cool.
That's right. Lord, if you're really there and if you really hear me, show me a shooting star. Poof.
In the direction.
Ha ha.
If you're against me, let the shooting star come right here.
Awesome.
Lord, if you're for me, make it go that way. If not, just smoke me now. Amen. Who else? God, Mary. Come on. Ruthie.
Amen. Amen.
Brandy.
My daughter does not have
Down
syndrome. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jean. Yes, she was. Right there. I remember. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Both miraculously healed. And your sister back with the Lord. Saved. Look, I... Who else? Miracle? Come on. Nate?
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Joe?
Ooh. Amen.
Amen. Thank heaven you weren't woken up by the pole. That is an abrupt stop, by the way. Anybody else? Savannah? You know, when you look back and you realize what he really has done, how he loved us when we were yet sinners, even though we didn't know what was happening, you look at the sovereign hand of God, how he's rescued you out of situations, how he's kept you alive, how he has guarded you and brought you to this day. It's an amazing thing.
It's an amazing thing.
So we're talking tonight about a grateful heart. You know that song that we sang with the kids? Give thanks with a grateful heart. We're going to talk about what a grateful heart really is. Amen. And why God says to give thanks with a grateful heart. Why we're called to do that. Look, it's a simple thought, but it's a very deep principle. How many of you have made your children say thank you? And how many times have they said, thanks? Right? I mean, isn't that true? Here's what a grateful heart is. Here's what the word grateful means. Warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. Pleasing to the mind or senses. Agreeable or welcome. Refreshing. When you give thanks, is this the description? Thanks for making me work overtime, Mr. Boss.
I mean, I want you to think about that. When you give thanks lately, has it been from a grateful heart? Has your heart been deeply appreciative of the kindness or benefits you've received? Think about that. When you give thanks, is it with really deep appreciation? We can give thanks and it can come from a dutiful heart. I'm giving thanks because I know I'm supposed to. I'm giving thanks because it's the proper thing to do. I'm giving thanks because it's what the Lord said I'm supposed to do, which is a dutiful heart. Sometimes we can give thanks from a bitter heart. Our heart is totally bitter. We'll still say thank you, but we're bitter. Sometimes we give thanks from a fearful heart or even a depressed heart. But we're supposed to give thanks with a grateful heart, with deep appreciation, with... I mean, when you think about tonight, what's in your heart, would you say that what's in your heart is pleasing to your mind and your senses? Your emotions, the things you hear, the things you think about, would you say that they're pleasing? Would you say it's agreeable with God and his word and his ways, what's in your heart right now? Is what's in your heart refreshing to you? Would you say that when you give thanks, that it's with this type of a heart? Or maybe is your heart somewhere else tonight?
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 13,
The Lord said, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. What he's talking about here is, this is not a grateful heart. Can I tell you the scripture that says, he who has been forgiven much, loves much, that is a grateful heart. Put that definition of grateful back up there, Noelle. Because what is a grateful heart? A grateful heart acknowledges that it has received something. It is appreciative for benefits received. Really? I mean, do you realize that the Son of the Living God gave his life so that you and I could have eternal life? Does that not make you appreciative? I mean, I look at who I was 30 years ago when I met Beth. And I'm going to tell you what. I had no appreciation. I had no understanding of who God was, genuinely. But when he came and revealed himself to me, I became deeply appreciative of who he was and what he had done for me. That all of these things that I had done could be forgiven. Because I believed that I was beyond redemption. Now look, Ezekiel 33:31 says, my people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Again, religion. Religion. That first scripture, religion. I just want to look good. I just want people to think good things of me, but really, in my heart, I'm not grateful. I'm not thankful for what I have received. Just saying the right thing is not what Jesus is looking for. Anybody know someone who says all the right things and you know that's not what they really believe? They tell you all the things that you want to hear. Uh-huh. Oh, of course. It's that car salesman. No offense, Joe. It's that car salesman. It's a salesman, right? I know, Nate. I'm a former salesman. It's the one who tells you, oh, of course, this car only driven once by a little old lady. Well, actually, she drove it to church on Sundays, but she lived right next door. Really? It's that salesman who tells you whatever you want to hear just so that they can feel good. Even the devil can say the right thing. Can I tell you, even the devil can say the right thing. And it doesn't, it's not with a grateful heart, because he'll use it for his own unjust gain. God says he weighs the heart of a man. See, this is where we get caught up a lot in this world of looking for justice. You don't have to look for justice. Can I tell you, God weighs the heart. God weighs the heart. He looks at the heart. And he is looking at the truth of your heart. Is it grateful? Look, if it's not grateful, you're not going to blow smoke at him. He is not going to be fooled. Yes, Lord, I am grateful. Unless you really are, it doesn't matter, because he knows. Proverbs 16 says, all the way a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Look, I mean, you can tell the Lord, oh, but Lord, I went to church on Sunday right before I stole from my neighbor. I did the right thing, Lord. See, God checks the motives. He weighs those things.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says that we're supposed to be thankful in all circumstances and that this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. And yet so often, when we lose our gratefulness, then our thankfulness is always tainted. We say that we're thankful, but it isn't really with a grateful heart. We say we're thankful for our children, but we're not really grateful for them. We're frustrated with them. We say we're thankful for our marriage. We say we're thankful for our job. We say we're thankful for this or that. But really, when we lose our gratefulness, then our thankfulness becomes very tainted. And then what happens is when our ability to maintain a grateful heart is challenged by circumstances, things are not going the way we think, things are not going the way we planned, life blows up in our face, then we begin to open up doors of opportunity for darkness to come and dwell in our hearts. And instead of having a grateful heart, then the next thing you know, our heart starts to get these little tiny open doors of opportunity for discontent to begin to settle in, or bitterness to begin to settle in, or unforgiveness to begin to settle in, or doubt. God doesn't really care about me. If he cared about me, he wouldn't allow this to continue to happen to me. Or judgment begins to settle in. We begin to judge people rather than love them, or slander, or gossip, or these things begin to settle into our heart. And how do they do that? It's because we lose our ability to maintain a grateful heart. What is a grateful heart? Again, one that is warmly or deeply appreciative of the kindness or benefits that we've received. If you were to make a list like Kimmy did of 2,000 things that you were thankful for, would you be thankful for them with a grateful heart? Or would you just be making a list? I'm thankful for my eyes. I'm thankful for my toes. I'm thankful for my nose. I'm thankful for my hair. I'm just trying to get to 2,000. Or would you really be grateful for these things? Would these things really be pleasing to your mind when you thought about them and you gave thanks to them? Would they be pleasing to your senses? So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about what we need to have in our lives in order to maintain a grateful heart. Day in and day out, day in and day out. Not just at Thanksgiving. Not just when everybody's focused on it. And people, and every time you turn on the TV, somebody's preaching a message on being thankful. But even when life blows up in your face, how do you maintain a grateful heart?
See, look, I want you to think again about this thankfulness. Bethy mentioned it with kids. I'm so thankful for my children. Shut up! I'm writing down, thank you, Lord, for my hair.
I hate it. Just won't do what I wanted to do today.
I am thankful for my husband. Did you take the trash out? I mean, look, let's talk reality here.
Deep appreciation.
I am thankful, Lord, that I have a job. God, I hate my boss. He doesn't pay me enough. How was your day? Oh, so horrible. Look, I hear this all the time. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I am so thankful I have a job. Hate my job, hate my boss, hate the people I work with. Okay. Really? Can we be thankful with a grateful heart? I'm thankful for my wife. Jeez, she lost the keys again. I mean, really, can we be thankful with a grateful heart? This is something that, because this is what we're talking about, is those opportunities. The opportunities for discontent to come in. The opportunities for the darkness to remain inside and for you to make a home for them. And if you make a home for them, what's going to happen?
They're going to build a house.
I'm just going to tell you, how many of you would allow, oh, say, a drug addict to move into your home? Why? Because, well, drug addicts do unpredictable things. Sometimes they might steal or hurt someone or, you know, it just would be unsafe, right? And yet we'll leave that darkness in our heart of discontent. What's more precious, what can be stolen out of your house or the truth that can be stolen from your heart?
See, look, Will Gart, man, I got 12 deadbolts and an alarm system, and I make sure all the windows are closed and everything, and yet in my own heart, I'll allow darkness to remain. So how to maintain a grateful heart? First, number one, write this down, big letters. Make a big space. Very important. Everybody got your pen?
Yep.
Are you ready? Are you sure? You don't have your pen out, Brian. All right, here it is. Now that I've given Brian a hard time. Love you, Brian. Fear of God. Now look, when I grew up, fear of God was this. God is a big, angry God, and he'll smack you in the head because you messed up. That's what I believed about God. That God was just angry, waiting for me to just mess up so that he could smack me down. But here is what the fear of God really is. It is a reverence, an honor, a love. Fear of the Lord is a desire to want to give yourself to him, to be grateful and thankful to him, to acknowledge all of his benefits. See, apart from him, when we don't have that reverence of God, can I tell you something? You're open for everything. How many of you leave your door open at night? Not just unlocked, open. And when you woke up in the morning, what did you do?
Freaked out.
Holy smoke! Have you ever left your garage door open?
Yeah.
And then what do you do? Oh, nobody stole anything. What? The back door was open? Look, that vulnerable feeling, without fear of God, you are leaving the doors open. You are leaving the windows open, the garage door open, but not just like unlocked, but open. With a sign that says, free. Come in and take what you want. Have your way here. Because unless we have that reverence, that fear of God, you can't have a grateful heart. Unless you understand who he is, it won't mean anything to you. You'll just continue on in your way because there's nothing larger than yourself. And one of the things about the fear of God is you have to realize there is more than just you. There is more than just you.
The Bible says to fear the Lord is to hate evil. The very base understanding, that the root understanding of the fear of God is to hate evil. That's what Scripture says. To fear the Lord is to hate evil, which is number two. Number two is to maintain a grateful heart. You have to guard your heart from ungodly things. And you're not going to guard your heart from ungodly things if ungodly things are acceptable to you in some manner. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Why do I hate evil? I hate evil because I see what it costs God, which is his only begotten son. Why do I hate evil? Because I realize what evil does to mankind. Not because I hate mankind, but I hate what evil does to what God loves, which is mankind, his children. And so Scripture says that we're supposed to guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And when you will allow discontent or judgment or gossip or slander or hatred or unforgiveness or bitterness or fear, these things to come and dwell in your heart, then it's just this wellspring and it just breathes that life all over the rest of you. Next thing you know, that's how you think. And the next thing you know, that's how you speak. And the next thing you know, that's how you act. Why? Because you need to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So you, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And if you hate evil, then you will guard your heart. Because you'll recognize it is the wellspring of life. I don't want anything to come and poison the gratefulness in my heart. I do not want my thankfulness to be just in word, but I want it to come from a grateful heart, which means I have to guard it from everything that is evil.
I mean, I want you to think about this. This is a hard concept for us, what a well spring is. In a desert, I want you to picture yourself in a desert with nothing to drink. And you come along a little well, a little spring bubbling up. And it's got beautiful fresh water to bring you life. Now, I want you to think about that. Are you going to guard that if animals come and do their business near your wellspring? Are you going to just going to let that happen? This is the only water you have for life. Are you going to throw your trash in it? Of course not. And yet that's what we do when we're not aware of this, when we don't guard our heart, when we allow those things, bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and hatred, murderous thoughts to remain. Literally, you're shoving garbage down into that well, which is the only place you can drink from. And then you're going to take a big old glass. And it will poison you, right? We have to guard our heart. The next thing, dwelling in the presence of God. Not visiting. Not the, I've been to church, right? Heaven Almighty, I go to church every week. You what? Why go to church? Really? Why been to church? You know, you ask 85% of Americans and they're Christians. Really? Why? I was born that way. Okay. Do you realize that Christianity is not genetic? Judaism is different. You can be born a Jew because it is not what Christianity is. Christianity is a choice. There are no born Christians. We dedicate our children and say, God, protect them until they can make a choice. But you can't be born a Christian. It's just not possible. You can be born again a Christian. Amen? See, look, dwelling in his presence. Dwelling in his presence. What does it mean to dwell? To reside. To live. In your house. That he, when you're in his presence, what does it feel like to be in the presence of the Lord? And where can you be in the presence of the Lord? Well, I should hope it would be everywhere. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Those are big words. That means he's everywhere, he's all-powerful, and he knows everything. So wherever you are, he can be. The question is, have you ever been somewhere and just not paid attention? Like when you were in school? Come on now. Because I'm here, but I'm not really dwelling in this place. I am just putting in my time. Can you dwell in the presence of the Lord? Here's what it means to dwell. Lord, I am just coming with no agenda, no purpose. I'm just coming to spend time with you. As a parent, what does that mean to you? See, those of us who have older children, can I tell you that means something? When your child says, hey, can I come over? Of course. For what? Just want to spend time with you. Really? What greater joy is there as a parent? Nothing.
Well, we burned the turkey, so we were hoping you had some.
Because a lot of times that's what you do to God. Lord, I want to spend some time with you because I got this ticket and it's really expensive and I don't have the money to pay it. And so I was hoping that you could bail me out. Jesus. Lord, I'm in jail. Right? I mean, this is the difference. What's dwelling? I woke up in my Father's house. Everywhere I am, I'm dwelling with him. He's with me. and I'm with him, and I'm acknowledging that, that will help you keep a grateful heart. Do you know that he has never left you nor forsaken you? And that in the darkest places you've ever been, he was right there, weeping for you to come back. Praying that you would turn in the darkest places.
When you dwell in his presence, the Bible says that in him there is no darkness. He is all light. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard people who have said they've come just that close to death. We had a neighbor down the street. He was dying of cancer. And he tells a story of he was sitting in his chair. And it had been a really ugly, long battle with cancer. And he's sitting in his chair and he said, "And I felt this love and this light consume me. I had never felt before in my life." And he said, and every fear, every doubt, every thought, every pain, it was all gone. I had never felt so consumed by love and light in my entire life. And he said, "I knew exactly who it was." And I said, "It's you, Jesus. I'm ready." And he said, "Not yet." And he said, "Oh, no, please. Don't leave me here." And he said, "Not yet, but soon." Now, I'm going to tell you, you've heard people talk about that. What is that? And you're in the presence of God. If you can ever figure out how to dwell in the presence, have you ever been around that person? Maybe you've had a person in your life where when you're around them and you dwell with them long enough, you're just not all angry. There's something about being with them that makes you feel safe, makes you feel alive, makes you feel okay. When you learn to dwell in the presence of God, you won't be dwelling in bitterness or anger or slander or any of those things. Why? Because there's none of that in him. And if you've got that going on in your heart, it's because you're visiting him. You go in, you go out. You go in, you go out. You hang with him for 5 hours and then you hang somewhere else for six. I don't know. But when you dwell there, you're not going to struggle with that. You're going to be able to maintain that grateful heart. And then you need to be able to dwell in his word. Same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you will do more than just look at this on Sundays and Tuesdays, if you will do more than just glance at this every once in a while when you're in trouble, but you will actually dwell with it, you'll walk with it, you'll sleep with it, you'll eat it, you'll breathe it. It is your daily bread. You will learn how to dwell with this. Now, I want to say again, there's a difference between dwelling with this and picking this apart. Some people spend a lot of time with this, but they spend a lot of time with it for the wrong reasons. I'm not really trying to dwell with it. I'm trying to pick it apart. I'm trying to make some great theology out of it. I'm trying to learn some great big lesson so I can impress somebody when I talk to them about the Bible. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons people spend time with this. You need to dwell with it. Like sitting in the presence of God. Why am I here, God? I just want to be with you. Why am I reading this? I just want to know you. If this is you, then this is where I want to be. It's right here with you.
See that dwelling in the Word? You heard the statement, meditate on the Word. Now, what does meditate mean to you? So, here's a quick lesson in Hebrew. The Hebrew word is hadah, to meditate. Okay? Here's what the actual word hadah means. To mutter. To speak. So we think meditate. Right? That's what I think when meditate. I'm meditating. That is not what the word means. To meditate on God's word means this. To utter, to mutter, to speak. That's what it means. It means, may the glory of God endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. To have that on the inside, I'm meditating on that. I am dwelling in his word. Why? Because it's inside of me. It's not just,
what was that scripture reference I'm going to write down and never look at again?
I'm meditating on it. I'm dwelling in it. Then, Book of James says, not just to be a hearer of the word, but also a doer. A doer of the word. You must do, not just know. We talked about this a little bit at men's. A bunch of guys sitting up on the top of a mountaintop, take a vow of silence, we're just going to know the Lord. Of what value is that? Well, it's not bad for them. Doesn't do anybody else any good, though. So we must be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So that what we dwell in, the glory of God, the love of God, the love of the saints, the forgiveness that we have received to share the gospel, the good news. Those things, we need to do those things, not just know them. How many of you, look, I gave this analogy the other day. I can explain to you a combustion engine. I know the mechanics and I know how things work. Except when I open my hood, I'm like, call a mechanic. I can explain it to you because I know it, but I'm not a mechanic. Sometimes that's what people, Christians are like. Oh, I know the Bible. Really? Well, yeah, but I know about the Bible. Really? What do you know about it? Well, and I know that it's a really good book. Really? What if I take this away from you and never let you have it again? What will there be left inside of you of it? Is it written on the tablet of your heart? Do you become a living epistle? Do you become a living letter with the words of God written upon you so that people can read? What happens if they burn all the Bibles like they did in Nazi Germany? Are you a living epistle? A written letter of God's love to mankind? So that when people meet you and spend time with you, they're like, wow, that's the truth. 70 years in Russia, they destroyed all the Bibles. Can I tell you? People who had it in them, who knew not only how to dwell in it, but how to walk it out, became that, so that when the Iron Curtain finally fell, they were like, oh, this is what we really have had. Now it can be loosed.
Next, I already kind of touched on this, but dwelling with people with a grateful heart. Be very on purpose. If you want to maintain a grateful heart, don't dwell with people who have a bitter one. Because it will infect you. Dwell with people that have a grateful heart. Not people just say they're thankful, but people that genuinely have a grateful heart. For not just the big things that God has done, but for every little thing. They're grateful for their next breath. They're grateful for any number of things. They're grateful for their salvation. Really be on purpose. If I'm going to maintain a grateful heart, then one of the ways I guard that is I'm very careful with my friendships, who I spend the most amount of my time with, because that will begin to be very infectious in your heart.
Last, a key, remaining in His love, remaining in the love of God. Look, here's the reason why you remain in His love in order to maintain a grateful heart. Because in His love, there is nothing lacking.
That's right.
In His love is the completeness of everything. So people say, I'm in love with Jesus. If you are in love with Him, then everything is complete. There's nothing lacking. You're not going, well, except for, well, only if, well, perhaps I could. No, Lord, in You is the fullness of joy. In Your love is everything I have need of, because You are complete. Amen? See, this is, when you have everything you want,
it's hard not to be grateful, right? When you have all of your needs met, it's impossible to not be grateful.
Okay, so it's not impossible because there are some people who are just ingrates. But you have to work a lot harder at it, right? Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law.
As a Christian, I'll just tell you, you're never debt free. Right there. The debt of loving one another is yours for life. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. When you are complete in God, you lack nothing and therefore you are grateful. And you will maintain a grateful heart. Gratefulness, not just thankfulness. When you sit around your table, when you walk through your life, be grateful. I remember one day, and he said, miracles, I've seen so many, sometimes it's hard to choose. But I remember one time standing in my kitchen, and I have one of those really large old backyards, and long ways away in the backyard is this huge tree. And Andy was about 3 years old. And he was so fast growing up. He still is, but he was really fast when he was little. And I'm standing here doing dishes, and I'm looking out the back window, and he was right there on the ground, but then he wasn't. And I look out the window, and that little pumpkin had gone halfway up this tree. And I went
to... They're about 30 feet, by the way.
And he's halfway up there, and he's like two or three. And I went to slide open. I have one of those little old windows that slides open. And you have to be careful because you don't want to scream at them because, you know, then they freak out and they fall out of the tree. And I slid, and just as I'm sliding up to say something, he falls out of the tree. And I'm watching him fall, and I knew there's no way I could get to him. Underneath this tree are those big, they're about this big around, jagged rocks. It's not the nice, smooth river rocks. It's the big, ugly, jagged ones, and they're all on that backyard. If you go in my backyard now, this was so many years ago, they're not out there anymore because we removed them.
There's still plenty around there.
And then there was two or three great big rocks. And I'm watching this kid fall like out of a cartoon. And he is falling literally back down. He's not even standing upright. He's literally falling like he's going to do a backflop in water. And all I could say was, catch him, Jesus. And he's coming fast as he could come all the way down. And as God is my witness, he's probably 2 or 3 feet from the ground. And it literally looks like something out of a movie. He went, and then he gently laid on the ground. And I thought I was seeing things. And I ran out there in the backyard, and I'm expecting just blood everywhere. And I picked that little boy up, and he's just, what's wrong, Mama? I'm like, and I'm looking all over him, and there's not a mark on him. And all I could think of was a scripture that says he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And I'm telling you what, an angel caught that little boy. Just, I was like, wow.
We had a joke about Andy's angels. They're Green Beret angels. There's a certain place in heaven where they are resting now. They're like, oh good, he's old enough to take care of himself. Whoo.
He come down a hill one time on a bicycle, about 6 years old. We told him not to do this, but, you know. And so he's coming down the hill on the bicycle, and the bicycle hits a rock without a helmet. He flips up over. He's going head first to this great big boulder, at which point we said.
No. Great big boulder.
Jesus, help him. And his head went like this, and something pushed him just a little bit further, and he landed on the other side of that rock and tumbled. And I'm like, oh,
and then
God,
you know what he did?
So good. He did
got
it
back
again.
On the bike.
Of course.
He went, that was so cool. And Mom and I went, that was really awesome, buddy. How about a helmet?
Prayed for a man one time going in for heart surgery. And he starts crying. And I stopped praying for him because I thought I heard him. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I can hear you." I said, "What do you mean you can hear me?" He says, "I've been deaf my whole life. You just prayed for my heart. God opened my ears." Can I tell you? God is a good God. Every day, all around you, he's doing miracles on behalf of you and your family because he loves you so much. Be grateful. Be thankful. Always with a grateful heart.
Lord Jesus, Father, we just come and we acknowledge that we are yours. Lord, you and you alone, Father, are our ever-present help in times of trouble. We lean on you, we trust you. For you, Lord, are the answer. Father, help us to dwell with you in your presence, to dwell in your word, to do the things of your word, Lord God, to have a reverence and an honor for you. Almighty God, help us to guard the wellspring of life and not allow darkness into our hearts. And Lord God, keep those people who are not grateful at bay, Father God. Help us to remain in fellowship with those who are of a grateful heart. And Lord Jesus, we would just ask that you would keep us ever mindful of the miracles, signs, and wonders that you have surrounded us with. Let us remain grateful in our hearts and receive those things and give you praise all the days of our lives. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Stand up on